All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Steelers center Marquise Pouncey announcing his retirement today. Great friends with Ben Roethlisberger. Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com joins us. Alan, how's everything going today, buddy? What's going on?
Busy. You know, I wasn't expecting this. We've had a busy NFL news day today, but that's okay. We'll kick the week off with a bang instead of going out with a whimper. We had Marquise Pouncey news, and then J.J. Watt cut by the Houston Texans. So it's been busy.
It is fascinating because in our business, folks, Friday is a slow day. You generally don't get any news on Friday because organizations understand, you know, you're not going to get any play on good news. You will get bad news sometimes with what's called a Friday news dump. But typically Fridays are kind of slow. But I'll tell you what, for the last couple months, there's just been tons of stuff coming out on Fridays. Alan, people are maybe trying to read into this and saying, if Marquise Pouncey is done, what will this do for Ben Roethlisberger? Could that mean that he will not want to come back? What's your take on this?
I think it's certainly going to be a factor in Ben's decision on whether he's going to come back or not. And look, I think there are other factors there that are probably more important. But, you know, what the Steelers are going to need for Ben Roethlisberger to come back is going to be something of a sacrifice. They're going to need him to come back at a significantly reduced pay rate than he's used to and bargained for. And I think one of the things that makes you more likely to do that is the idea of being able to play with your buddies again, you know? And so not having that is, I do think it's meaningful. I don't know if it's going to be the reason or anything like that, but it's one more thing that Ben Roethlisberger is going to have to weigh here.
Earlier in the week, I believe there were reports that they were going to meet this week, the Steelers and Ben, to kind of hash some things out. Did that happen? And if so, or if not, what is the latest there?
That has not happened as of now. It could still happen maybe today or tomorrow, or now maybe next week. I do feel like waiting for an answer from Marquise Pouncey is one of the things they were waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of look at the way their offseason has gone, is that Vance McDonald was first, and now there's Pouncey, and now it seems like Ben Roethlisberger is the next big decision that the Steelers have to make. It doesn't seem like anybody else is going to retire voluntarily anyway. And so that $41 million salary cap hit is the thing that needs to be figured out next before the Steelers can figure out where they can go from here.
Interesting. Who actually will make this decision, Alan? And I know there's maybe a little bit of both here, but who will make this decision, the Pittsburgh Steelers or Ben Roethlisberger? Because Ben, he can work it out financially with whatever the team wants if he truly wants to come back. But so which side is actually going to make the final call, do you think?
Well, I think this is one of those cases where the money really doesn't matter. I mean, I think that gets said a lot. Like, people are talking about Juju Smith-Schuster. Look, that guy's going to get paid more this offseason than he will ever get paid in his entire life. There will be never a chance where he'll be worth more than he is worth now. He needs to go cash in. No agent is going to tell him to not go cash in, and if he doesn't go cash in, he's an idiot. The idea of him not playing somewhere at a less-than-market value rate is just nonsensical. Now, a 38-year-old quarterback at the twilight of his career that is already going to get paid $22 million this season, whether he plays or not, that's one of those situations where it's like, okay, maybe the rest of this money really doesn't matter that much. And I do think that if Ben Roethlisberger wants to play, it's going to have to be for pretty near – the minimum salary this year. I don't think the Steelers are going to be willing to go much beyond that. But if he is willing to do that, I think then the decision will be up to him. But given that, I think the Steelers are going to have pretty clear ground rules about what they're going to pay this season. But I think after that, it's really up to Ben. And I believe him when he says, I don't think the money matters that much because I really don't think it does.
Yeah, it's interesting. So do the Steelers want him back? Do the Steelers think that they could get a 39-year-old quarterback and make one more run at it, or are they ready to move on?
You know, I think that's a very interesting question. I think it would really depend on who you ask at the Steelers to get the answer. I think there are probably people in the Steelers that would prefer to just move on. But I don't believe as an organization, if Ben Roethlisberger is willing to meet their salary demands, that they would tell him no.
Yeah. Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com. What is the Steelers' level of confidence in Mason Rudolph?
I think the Steelers' level of confidence in Mason Rudolph is significantly greater than that of the fan base, I'll tell you that much. I think they believe that Mason Rudolph can be an acceptable starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't think they think he's a star, but I think they can put him out there. And if you pair him with a strong defense, which they have shown that they can do, and a strong running game, which they have not shown that they can do, but they certainly aspire to have, that he could lead the team to a lot of success. It's very interesting. I've been looking at sort of some comparisons to the season that the Steelers have upcoming, and I'm drawn to Peyton Manning's final season in Denver. You remember he came back to play that last year, announced it was going to be his last year. He was very poor. He got benched for Brock Osweiler for a time, came back at the end of the year, but that was a team that was just drug into the postseason by a stellar defense and a really good running game. And then Peyton Manning finally found his game coming down the stretch there a little bit. And there was enough gas in the tank for one last run. Maybe that's the way the Steelers are approaching this season, and that they have, it doesn't really matter who is quarterback. If it's Ben Roethlisberger, if it's Mason Rudolph, if it's somebody else, that if their defense is going to be another top three defense in the league, and if they can fix that running game, then maybe it won't matter so much.
I want to ask you one last thing about Tom Brady. Alan covers the Steelers. Steelers fans can't stand Tom Brady, can't stand the Patriots, can't stand the fact that the Patriots caught them with six Super Bowls. There's a lot of animosity built in there. But, Alan, I think around a lot of the rest of the country, there was a little bit of a sea change over the last few weeks or a couple of months with regards to people viewing Tom Brady. I was joking last week that, hey, Tom Brady's the underdog. He's kind of a likable guy now. I don't know that that's ever going to be the case in Pittsburgh or with Steelers fans. But if you see what I'm getting, even the drunk video of Tom Brady that surfaced a day or two ago, you know, people weren't angry, mad at him like they might have been if he was with the Patriots. They were kind of having some fun with it. Have you noticed, again, maybe not necessarily among Steelers fans, but have you noticed people viewing Tom Brady a little differently now that he's no longer with the evil empire?
I think you hit the nail on the head there at the end, right? In that, you know, I don't think Tom Brady himself was ever inherently unlikable. I mean, he's married to a supermodel, and he's got, you know, this whatever health food line he wants to promote, and that's a bit smarmy, I think, to some people. But, you know, he was a fifth-round quarterback that turned out to be a lot better than people expected of him, and, you know, played most of his career with the team that drafted him and said all the right things always. And, you know, I don't think there was anything before that was inherently unlikable about Tom Brady, except that he won, and he won with a team that, let's be honest, did so with frequent run-ins with the NFL rule book, and a coach that is just outright unlikable, seems to attempt to be as unlikable as humanly possible. And so, yeah, I think the divorce from New England certainly went a long way towards some image rehab for Tom Brady. And I think the other thing is, I think now there's, you know, in that sort of divorce, I guess to use that analogy, right, it's like, well, if you really hate the New England Patriots and you really hate Bill Belichick, well, then Tom Brady having success away from them is sort of the ultimate way to stick it to them, right? You know, if you really hate the Patriots than Tom Brady saying, no, I don't need you guys anymore. I'm going to go to Tampa and win on my own with this other coach that lets me have a lot more fun and isn't nearly as grumpy. I mean, what a better way to stick it to Bill Belichick than that.
Bruce Arians is not as grumpy as Bill Belichick?
That could not possibly be any more opposite personalities of head coaches. And so I think that's gone a long way, too, is that people want Brady to stick it to New England because they don't like New England.
Yeah, love it. Great stuff. That's awesome. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate you having me.
Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com. Great discussion there.